In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated.
Our stories shape us. Our stories shape us. All of us have stories in our lives. We have some good stories. We have some not so good stories. We have stories of joy. We have stories of sadness. And which stories we choose to remember, to dwell on, that shapes our experience of the present. Also, the stories that we choose to ignore, to suppress, to pretend they didn't happen, those too shape our experience of the present. All of our stories shape us. They shape our identity, they shape our expectations, they shape our behaviors, our perceptions, our way of seeing the world. And that's why our stories matter, why our stories are important. They shape who we are and who we become. And so in our first lesson today, the prophet Isaiah begins by recounting the story of the people Israel, the central story. Right, the story of how they were led out of slavery in Egypt, and they were off into the desert, and then they ran up against the Red Sea. And so here was the army of Egypt in pursuit behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them, and they were trapped. And then God made a way out of no way. God opened up a path for them to go through the Red Sea. And when the army tried to pursue them, the waters buried the cruel chariots, and the people escaped. This is an important story. It's the essence of what it means to be Jewish. Our stories shape us. But then in today's reading, the prophet takes a strange turn. Speaking in the voice of God, the prophet says, "Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Even now it springs forth. Can't you see it?" It's kind of out of character for the Bible to say, "You remember that thing that happened? Forget about it. It's old news. It's not even worth remembering." But the prophet wants to draw for us the contrast between what has happened before and what new thing is about to happen. God is about to do something new, something so new that you won't even be able to believe it. Something as new and unbelievable as streams of water gushing through the desert, providing drink. Something as new and unbelievable as ostriches and jackals coming in and saying the prayers with us. God is telling God's people, don't get stuck on what you've seen already. God says, I'm just warming up. Right? I'm preparing the way. I'm getting you ready so that you might have a chance of even comprehending what's coming next. We hear this again in our second reading today. St. Paul writes to the Philippians about all the reasons he has to be proud, right? All the reasons he has to be honored, all the things that he has to his credit, all his credentials, all the stories from the past about how good he is. And Paul says of all these things, rubbish. They're useless. They're scubula, which is translated rubbish, but literally means excrement, dung. That's what these things are worth compared, says St. Paul, to this new story that he has been given by God through Jesus Christ. The gospel. And again, in our gospel reading today, we find ourselves at the home of Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead just days or weeks before. And they throw a dinner party for Jesus. And Lazarus is there. And Martha is there. And Mary is there. And she anoints Jesus' feet with this this perfume, this very expensive perfume, this perfume that costs a year's wages. This extravagant way of honoring Jesus catches the notice of the guests. It catches the notice of the gospel writer. It catches our notice 2,000 years later. Judas Iscariot is there, and he was the treasurer for the apostles, and so he's thinking in dollars and cents and thinking, wow, we could have done a lot with that. He's thinking in terms of the old economy, the old story. My default thought as I'm reading this story of the dinner at Lazarus' house is that Mary is thanking Jesus for giving back her brother from the dead, giving him back to her. But Jesus has a different perspective on what's going on here. Jesus says that what Mary is doing is thinking of his burial. Because Jesus knows, and perhaps Mary knows, that God is about to do an amazing new thing, something so amazing that the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead just pales by comparison. Because God in the flesh is about to die. And when that happens, death itself will be destroyed. So we have all these stories, and these stories are preparation for a new, even greater story. And we begin with that illustration of streams in the desert, and that makes me wonder, what are the desert places in your life? Where are the dry and lifeless places in your life? Where are the places that you feel bereft of hope or of expectation? Maybe it has to do with a difficult relationship. Maybe it has to do with an unwanted diagnosis. Maybe it has to do with a quenched passion, right? The loss of a sense of purpose, a difficulty in making meaning of life. This is the season of Lent here in the church year, that season of preparation for Easter. This is the time when Christians on purpose go out into the deserts. When we go into the deserts of our own lives, looking anew for God. Lent is the time to shake off our old attachments, our old habits, our old stories. Lent is the time to quit settling for familiar or the nostalgic or the once upon a time. Lent is the time to go out to the desert and the deserts in our lives and just sit there a while and say, huh, what is this about? And importantly, where is God in this? Lent is the time to encounter the God who makes streams in the desert, who brings life to barren lands, who makes a way where there was no way. That story of the Exodus from Egypt, that was the central story of Israel's identity. The day of freedom from Egypt, freedom from slavery, freedom from bondage and genocide and oppression. It was a great day for the Jewish people. It was the story that made them who they are, a great memory of God's faithfulness and care and power. But even Isaiah the prophet knew that was not the last word. That story was not something to get stuck on. That God wasn't done. That history had not ended. That the journey of God's people with God was not finished but only begun. And you and I as Christians, we have joined the same story. We often tell the story using words like eternal life. But it's the same story of the journey of God and God's people on our way to a promised land. And every positive experience we have of God, every blessing that we receive in our lives, it's all a promise from God of even better things in the future. God is teaching us step by step to tell stories that are ever more true, ever more good, ever more full of joy. And so God's invitation for you this Lent is not to settle for what you think you know of God, but to look deeper, to open your hands to receive more, to discover the stream of living water that is welling up from even the driest places in your own heart. All of your stories are not endings, but beginnings, starting places. Your story, ultimately, is the story of God. And that's important to remember, because our stories shape us. Amen.